American Jews should be in an uproar right now, says Michael Freund in his article on Wednesday in the Jerusalem Post. We should be vocal, outspoken, and passionate about the impending disengagement, the, as you know, unilateral withdrawal from Gaza and northern Samaria, slated to begin in a little over a week. This may be one of the most painful and wrenching moments in all of Israel's history. American Jews should have a lot to say. Historically, we are extremely vocal critics when it comes to issues of human rights, both domestically and abroad. Yet, aside from a few exceptions, we remain remarkably silent. Michael Freund, the journalist, thinks we are afraid. We're afraid to have a clear stance on the issue. We're not afraid. We are conflicted. We are confused. And we don't know all the facts. While the majority of Israelis support the disengagement, they do so with a proverbial but. For the plan raises all kinds of questions with no apparent solutions. It intertwines politics, Zionism, religion into a very complicated web. So this morning, let us understand the disengagement. Let me be very clear from the outset. I'm not here to force you into any political corner. Rather, I'm here to help you find your voice, to give you the history, the consequences, and the reality of the plan, so that if you are silent, it is not from ignorance. And if you want to speak, you have the tools and you have the language. For one reason. We are Jews. And while we may not live in the land of Israel today, it is our home. It is our inheritance. And each one of us is responsible for it. In February 2004, about a year and a half ago, Minister Ariel Sharon first introduced the disengagement plan. Essentially, it is a unilateral security step whereby 9,000 Jews, known as settlers, which is a controversial term in itself, we'll leave that for another sermon, evacuate the Gaza Strip and the northern West Bank. Sharon hoped that by conceding this land to the Palestinians, Israel would be closer to establishing a long-term peace. Even though there was contentious debate about the proposal itself, the plan was eventually ratified by the Israeli government and the Knesset. By February 2005, a year later, the Knesset passed the Disengagement Implementation Law in order to transform the actual plan into a reality. The law empowered the government to pay approximately $930 million to the settlers in order to relocate them. And the settlers could use the funds allocated to them within certain criteria, but in order to move. And theoretically, in the last few months, we should have seen hundreds of settlers relocating to temporary housing or to the permanent housing to be built by the government. But in reality, while some have moved, the majority refused. They petitioned, they protested, and they've even marched to show their opposition. However, next week, on August 15th, Israeli soldiers and policemen are commanded to enter the settlements and hand over evacuation orders. Then 2 days later, on August 17th, the same soldiers and policemen are to begin evacuating the settlers by force. Remember, the settlers are Jews, primarily religious Jews that have settled in the Gaza Strip and the northern West Bank to fulfill their interpretation of the Zionist ethos. Abandoning their homes means abandoning their ideologies. So now what happens? Will this unilateral move create long-term stability? How will Judaism, the religion, fare under this plan? What effect will the plan have on the future of the Palestinians? And how will we appear to the global community if, and unfortunately, most likely when, there is a backlash? As most of you know, I just spent 3 weeks living in the heart of Jerusalem on a Hartman Fellowship. Living in Israel during this time, it is impossible to disengage for even a moment from the politics, the religion, and the Zionism, what is going on. We know Israelis have a voice, and they're not afraid to voice them. Every taxi cab driver, grocery store owner has thoughts on the situation. And then Israelis are literally wearing their political preferences on their cars and on their sleeves. Bumper stickers read, Yehudi lo migaresh Yehudi. A Jew does not expel another Jew. While others read, we are withdrawing from Gaza and thus securing our home. Those opposed to the disengagement wear orange ribbons and orange kippos. Those in favor wear blue. The cities remind me of the color wars at summer camp. But this is not children at play. Each morning, I made sure that my clothing was not making a political statement. Now I'm home, back here in Los Angeles, and I have the benefit of distance, but I'm still confounded by all the unanswered questions. Because next week, 18 and 19-year-old soldiers will probably have to pull Jews out of their homes, primarily religious Jews. How will the disengagement affect how young Israeli Jews view religion? We all know that the gap between the secular and the religion and the religious is becoming wider, deeper, not closer. Recently, I was having Shabbat dinner with an Orthodox friend of mine who lives here in Los Angeles and always wears a kippah. And he said to me, when I'm in Israel, I never wear a kippah. I was shocked. Here's a person who never takes off his kippah in the States, and yet when he is in our home, he never wears one. He's afraid that it'll pigeonhole his politics. A kippah, what you have on your head at this moment, a sign that you are dwelling in the house of God, has now become a political statement. Will our Israeli children grow up ashamed of their religion? How will Judaism, the religion, be taught in Israeli schools? What effect will this divisiveness have on the future of Judaism in our Jewish state? Will we have Israelis that grow up that have never practiced Jewish rituals? Palestinians see our disagreements as their successes. As you've read in the papers, they're dancing in the streets. But in reality, the withdrawal most likely will lead to violence within their own community. Gaza may be torn apart by fighting. Unemployment and poverty will rise because the Palestinians will become even more isolated. The Israeli government has decided, through much debate, to destroy the homes of the settlers. Not only are they too small for the Palestinian families, but also the Israeli government is concerned, in fact afraid, that they will become outposts for new terrorist cells. But how will Israel appear to the larger world when it spends millions of dollars to destroy perfectly good homes? While no decision has been finalized as to whether Israel or the Palestinian Authority will be responsible to destroy the homes and to remove the debris, the press will have a field day. We know the power of the press. Remember, to the larger world, Jews are Israel, and Israel is the Jews. In an effort to bring stability to our country, are we creating instability? Israeli democracy is clearly in danger. Over the past few months, there has been an inability to find a democratic solution. What does this say about the future of democracy in the state of Israel? And how does this affect our relations with democratic countries, most significantly, the U.S.? There is no question the disengagement will happen, but the consequences are not yet known. How many people will die? Israeli soldiers have already mistaken settlers for terrorists, almost killing them on site. Jews killing Jews. Is this a new low? Or through this process, will we sow the first seeds of peace? What can we do today? Because it matters that we do something, and so I have a few ideas. Read to be informed. This Shabbat, the Jewish Journal has an entire spread on the disengagement. Read the entire thing. The Jerusalem Post has on its website a special section called The Disengagement, with all sides of the debate. Domestic newspapers and the media are covering the situation almost daily. When Jews and non-Jews ask you about the disengagement, be able to respond. Secondly, show your support to Israel. There is a new website called Mate Harov, and you can go there and send care packages to our Israeli soldiers, because they are conflicted as well and they need our support. If you need to know how to find the website, you can call my office on Monday and I will have my assistant help direct you to it. Third, go to Israel. It was great to be in the middle of it. Many of our congregants were there this summer, and it was great to spend time with them, especially Cantor Gohl and his entire group. You do not know this, but Rabbi Wolpe is there right now. He's showing his solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Israel. Follow his lead, follow our lead, follow Cantor Gohl's lead. Do not be silent because you do not know. It's far too easy, as you know, to mistake silence for apathy. Now, more than ever, Israel, our country, our inheritance, our homeland, does not have time for us to be indifferent. I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom.